Good morning and welcome to the real world. We're having glitches this morning. I'm trying to talk to people. We just went live, so people are in and the different ways. And hopefully, Don, we can get on Facebook Live too and all the other avenues. I know we've had trouble with Zoom this morning. They had an update. Well, good morning, first of all. Good morning to Sunday morning here in beautiful Houston, the most beautiful city in the world. And the communities around it, Pearland and Sugarland and all of those other ones, Pasadena, all the places around. So welcome. I'm giving everybody just a few minutes. One nice thing about it, I was kind of praying about this morning. It's kind of funny. As I was looking at this sermon that is very, very, very long, so I don't want to cut this one off short. Luann and Alyssa are here. Good morning. Good morning. We might as well sing through this, okay? The Taylors aren't on. They're having problems. They're listening to last week's sermon. Get out of that one, okay? Jack Bailey's on. Yay, Jack. Jack, to be honest, did you do this or did Lucy? Let me know. I want to know who's wearing the electronics hat today at your house. We'll make sure the Taylors are on. Oh, good. The Taylors are on. Outlaws are here. Hey, Jesse. I just love Jesse. Peggy and Charlie are on. Okay, it's starting to happen. So we're getting there. The grits are cooking. It's just taking a little extra to get the grits up. Okay, so hang with me. As if I know what a grit is. Okay, really. I'm from Illinois. I mean, come on. Jean Pritchard's on. Hi, Jean. I had a great talk with Jean yesterday on the phone. I just love talking to her, and that was great. Talked to several people yesterday on the phone. So we got it working. Michael and the kids. Awesome. Okay, Dan is back in. Okay, Dan and Mac are in. I think we have majority of the people taken care of. Wait, I know what's going to fix this. Okay, let's all say step back. Debbie Holtz here. Good morning, Debbie. Isn't that good? Woo dogs. I understand. Kind of funny. There must be something in the message today, and I'm going to jump right into it here real soon, that the devil doesn't want us to hear. Because about 9:30, my internet went off in the entire complex. Everything went down. Everything froze. So I got out the iPad and was going to set up through and go through the AT&T towers, and I had it up and running. And then about 10 till, the internet unlocked. I'm thinking, okay, now, do I depend on Xfinity's internet or do I depend on the tower through my cell phone and my iPad? So I said, okay, I don't like change. So I went back to, okay, shut everything down, restarted under the internet in the building. Oh, everybody's coming on now. Hey, Patsy, good morning. Oh, the old days are here. Good morning. Awesome. Somebody, who is this? Okay, there's a lot of. I'm going to mute this now, not because I don't love you, but so I can, my mind, I have that disease that when I'm talking and go, oh, there goes a squirrel, you know. You all know what I'm talking about too, because if somebody walks into church late, I'll call out their name and stop the sermon to talk about it. Anyway, good morning now and welcome to Faith Springs Live, and I just love that we are live. We're a couple weeks away, and I'm kind of getting excited, but I'm kind of getting nervous too. Not nervous, but concerned of having church on May 31st, Sunday morning at 8:30 and 10 o'clock. And we're going to invite everybody just to come and be part of that. We tried to separate it up in alphabetical orders and the alphabet. I know that's probably not going to be popular, nor is everybody going to go by it. It's just a simple guideline to try to separate our crowd in halves. Now, one thing I would like to do, and I've asked for anybody that's in that category of being in a compromised position with their health, please try to come to the 8:30 one. If you have children and you're the younger generation, stay in bed. Come at the 10 o'clock one, not 10:30, but 10 o'clock one. And we're going to try to get everybody separated that way. There's a lot of people that want to come, and they're kind of concerned about, obviously, their health. And you'll need to bring a mask. We'll have masks available, not thousands of them, but we'll have some masks available. We'll have everything sanitized. We're going to have it cleaned. But I just want to let you know, if you're in that compromised position with health issues and you still want to come, I appreciate that. If you're in the senior saints, I would prefer you to come at the 8:30 one. It's going to be the same service, so don't feel, well, you know how I am. I never say the same thing twice the same way, but it'll be the same message. There won't be a worship team. I'm just going to play a few songs from the piano. We'll do some hymns, but try to come. But that'll be May 31st. New numbers are coming out in Texas. Let's not even talk about that. The governor's going to talk tomorrow. We'll see about that. He's going to open up more. So that's not going to be a big mystery. It's just going to be how we're going to handle everything as a church body. And at this point, let's start getting back together and go through this phase one and let the phase one, we'll kind of marinate on that a little while and see what we're going to do from that point on to see how well it's working. If we had to have to add a third service, we will, and we'll do that at 11:30. But right now we'll do 8:30 and 10 o'clock, and there'll be an hour long and then out. So try to follow the rules. We'll let Esther know. And if you have any concerns, call, text, email, let me know. But that's kind of what we're working on. So thank you for your patience, trying to do the right thing. And that's tough. So I appreciate your prayers, your support. I send out an email periodically. If you haven't got that email and you want to get those emails, I think some people have an email problems too. A lot of things going on electronically right now. Let Esther know, let me know, and we'll resend emails and the particulars out to you. There's some exciting things going on. We have a lot of people listening in and joining us, and believe it or not, I have people that contact me from around the country that's listening. And even New Zealand people are watching this. And I don't know what's going on with New Zealand and us, but New Zealand is really connecting in with us. So maybe we'll have a Faith Springs Baptist Church New Zealand, and I'll just have to go down there and help them build that, you know. Anyway, I don't even know where New Zealand's at. I hope it's not cold there. It's not, I'm teasing. But anyway, welcome to church. I hope everybody's doing well. I had an opportunity yesterday to actually talk to people on the phone. That doesn't happen very often, but I did. And I got to speak to some awesome people. And I want to talk to all of you. We do have the care teams calling and checking in. And please understand that if I don't get that opportunity, it's not that the church isn't ministering to you. The church is ministering to you. I'm getting emails from people saying, oh, I miss you, Greg, but I have had two or three calls from other people. Well, consider the church as being the entire church. So when somebody reaches out to you and call, consider that being me. Consider that being your Sunday school teacher, the deacons or whatever, because we have all these care teams, and it's a church family. It's so hard to try to reach out to everybody, and with everything that's going on, the hospital is just so busy right now. I would just appreciate patience. But when people reach out to you, feel loved because you are loved. And if we're missing you and you're falling through the cracks, I promise you it's not deliberate. Please let us know that you haven't got contacted, or that you need something, and we will try to get out to you and get somebody to you and help you out. We love you. please understand our hearts. This is a rough time for everybody. We don't want anybody to feel alone, okay? So let's just kind of start. I want to start with prayer because I need to get everything calmed down in me, and I hope you do too. I'm going to check my phone here real quick and just make sure. Oh, good. Oh, my land. Okay, we have a lot of people here. That's good. Let's have a word of prayer, okay? We need this. I need this. Lord, help us take a breath. Help us to slow down. Help us to take this in. There's something in your word that you want to get out in a powerful way this morning, that the devil is just trying to get everybody off center. And if you can just get us out of step, then the word won't go out the way you want it to. Calm nerves. Let us take a deep breath and just let your spirit be our breath right now. There's a lot of homes, Lord, that feels this kind of anxiety and pressure all the time. Allow this hour to be peace, to be encouragement, to be your presence, to be your truth, to be the calm that they need. Let your Holy Spirit enter into our church through these airwaves. And may your presence be felt. And may your perfect will be done. Thank you for answering the prayer. Thank you for being the awesome God that you are. Thank you for the people behind the scenes, Don and Doug, that just help and try and made it happen. But thank you for allowing it to happen so we can all connect today. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, here we go. I don't know, sometimes when sermons come, I get excited. Like, oh, I want to do this now. So I text a couple of people and say, oh, Sunday's going to be a dandy. But you won't believe what Sunday is about, what this message is about. Trusting. Trusting in God. In every one of the points we just experienced this morning, I love when God does this. Get your Bibles. I want you to see this. I want you to turn to everyone. This is going to be kind of long. What time is it? Okay, we're all right. Ooh, is it 10:30 already? Okay. We're going to go long. Don said we could. So hang with me. Get your Bibles. Turn to the book of Psalms. And if you want to find the book of Psalms, all you have to do is grab your Bible and just pretty well divide it in half, and you're going to be there, okay? And it's the book of Psalms, just a quick verse, because we're going to be just hopping. We're going to be hopping through Scripture today. I know some people like that, some people don't, but I kind of, when I'm talking about a topic, I kind of want to make sure we give what God's Word says about it, not what just Greg says, because why would you care what I would think about it? There's some stuff here for kids. So for kids, I want you to hang with me. Don't fade out on me. Older folks, don't fade out on me. Hang with me. But Psalm 62:8 goes like this, and we're ready to start. If you're there, say, oh, yeah. If you're ready to start, oh, yeah. Here we go. Psalm 62:8 goes like this. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Trust in Him all the time. I love that. Trust in Him all the time. Even when it says, I can't log in. Even when it says, it's not going to work today. Trust in Him. Now, here's the question, the $64,000 question of the day. Are you ready? How do you trust in God when you don't feel like it? When it's just not right. when you don't feel like trusting God, when the circumstances all look, what's going on out here in this world, what's going on with the mask and all this stuff, what's going on in your life with jobs, relationships, with your kids, with bills, with stuff, you haven't got the government check yet, the $1,200 or whatever, and you go, what? How do you trust in God when it's just not there? And we're going to have an absolutely unbelievable amount of information for you. So hang with me, grab a pencil and a piece of paper, and you're going to need this. And if you don't need this, your kids are going to need this. If kids don't need it, somebody that you're going to run into this week needs this. So write this stuff down. How do you trust when you don't feel like it? You're living a life of faith, but the feeling of trust isn't there anymore. That something's happened that's put that doubt in your mind. When faith and feeling doesn't match up, how do they all come together? Now, couple things. The first thing I want to talk about is, what can you do when you have that? It's just not there right now. This is going to get good. Hang with me. I have to remember the first one, number one, that trust is not an emotion. It's not an emotion. I have to trust in God, whether I feel like it or not. That's tough for some people. But listen here. Jesus talked to his followers the night before he died, the night before he was going to be crucified. He said these words in John 14:1, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, believe in God. Believe also in me. Trust in me too. Don't let your hearts be troubled. So it's one of those situations. The night before he was crucified, how do I convince these guys what they're getting ready to experience the next few days? It's going to be the hardest days of their lives, some of theirs. They're going to doubt everything that I said. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in him, not the emotion of trusting in him. Not what you feel or the butterflies or the goosebumps, but trust in him. It's not an emotion. If I'm going to trust God, whatever the feeling, there's a simple formula that I want to give you. And we haven't even got into the meat of this yet. But it's a simple formula. This is all prelude, so hang with me. We're going to go long because this is so important. We all need this. First, you need to do is go down this checklist. When you don't feel like trusting God, go down the checklist. Check your physical. Check physically. Is there something physically wrong? Okay, you cannot fix a physical problem all the time by asking for a spiritual answer. Don't get me wrong, I believe in God and answering prayer. But for instance, I'm talking about check your physical. Are you okay physically? If I have a low blood sugar problem, okay, let's just, for instance, if I have a low blood sugar problem and I want to be the righteous, religious, and the most awesome Christian in the world, I will show how spiritual I am with a low blood sugar problem. I'm going to heal it by fasting for God and let him answer a prayer for me. Low sugar and fasting doesn't go together. You just simply need to check that. Don't get over crazy on this. But you just need to check the physical. How are you feeling physically? Check the physical. What's going on with my life? Is it something going on with your hormones, God forbid? Is it something going on with a physical problem, a thyroid problem, or you know, just check out physically. Then check out emotionally. How are you emotionally? Is something going on in my life emotionally that's going to make me doubt God? How am I physically? How am I feeling? Is it just because I'm sick? How am I emotionally? This is rough for everybody right now. So emotionally, we're all kind of marred. We're all kind of dented in a little bit. But remember that. It's an emotional problem you're going through. Don't doubt God for it. Just work on your emotions. What's going on here? And then let God deal with that area of your life. And the third thing, check out your how you are spiritually, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Are you spending enough time in prayer? Are you reading the Bible enough? Are you talking to Him and listening to Him? No wonder you feel so far from Him and you don't trust Him if it's that. So just go through that simple checklist, okay? Physical, emotional, spiritual, and then deal with that in that area, okay? Now, sometimes we try to over, and I'm trying to say this in the right way, but this is important. We try to over religious our lives. Let me tell you a story. Probably told you this story before. In my youth group, but there's a reason that I want to tell you this story this morning. In my youth group was a young man way back when. You know, I've celebrated just this month 40 years of being in the ministry. It's been about 44, but 40 years of being in the ministry where I was actually on staff at a church. 40. I know. Can you believe it? In one of my early churches, Southern Illinois, down by Carbondale, I went to school, went to college. The youth music minister. In my youth group back then was a young man named Darren. I remember one night after Bible study, Darren comes to me and said, "Greg, I got a problem. I got a problem. I keep praying about it, but I'm not getting the answer." So, okay, what's the problem, Darren? Come on. What's the problem? Come out to my truck. So we went outside in the parking lot. It was about 8:30 at night, quarter to nine. And he walks me around his truck and he shows me his tires. And the steel belts are coming through the tire threads. You can see the steel belts through the tire threads. And he just looked at me and said, "Greg, I've been praying about this and God won't answer my prayer." And I said, "Well, what are you praying about, Darren? Should I get new tires or not? Should I spend the money on new tires or not?" I said, "Tell you what. This is me as a young kid. I said, close your eyes, Darren. Let's pray." And I put my hand on his forehead. And I said this, "Darren, this is God. Buy tires." And you may think that's goofy, but he looked up at me and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Darren, you need tires. You can see the steel belts. Do it. Don't expect God to give you common sense like that. Just do it. Do it." Now, I'm mentioning this young man's story because he got saved. He got baptized. He started preaching. He became a minister of one of the biggest churches in St. Louis. He then became an author. All of his books are in Lifeway bookstores. You can buy them online. He became a mega pastor. I always worried about him. It didn't seem right to me. I loved him. No doubt about his salvation. Just didn't seem right. This week, Darren went in to work out. Took a gun out of the bag of his duffel bag and blew his head off. A preacher at a mega church committed suicide. Now, folks, there's a lot more to that story, but I want to let you know that you have to check out what's going on in your life. And when you trust God, you can't just trust Him. You have to trust Him. There has to be something in your life that's not just the game. You can't be somebody different in front and then somebody different behind. You have to be able to rely on Him in every area of your life, or that one area that you don't have His coverage on will be the one that comes up and sneaks up and causes it to literally, either spiritually or physically, kill you. And you have to be grounded in Him enough to trust in Him. So check all of these things off that list as we go through these. To me, that was just a story I wanted to share with you, because that's impacted me this week, to lose a kid in one of your youth groups that you led to the Lord and baptized. And then somehow so emotionally felt disconnected to kill himself. Wow. So the first thing is, trust is not an emotion. The second thing is, you set your heart on God's love for you. You mark that in, you set it in, you get that focus, and God loves you. There is no doubt about it. Don't ever be the lack of trust in that. And Ephesians, I love this. Ephesians 3, 17 through 18 goes like this. I pray, Ephesians 3, 17 through 18, I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in Him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love really is. Don't miss that. The truth is, God loves you no matter what. He loves you. Whether you trust Him or not, whether you have doubts or not, He loves you. Don't ever doubt that. Don't ever doubt that. He does. A lot of people are too ashamed to trust God. They don't think, I get this so often. Oh, great. I don't deserve heaven. I'll be lucky to get to hell. Are you kidding me? What could have you done? What could it be that you think you've done so much that God wouldn't love you? I want to, as sure as I'm sitting here, He loves you. Get rid of that. That is the devil messing with you. That's the devil painting one more coat of paint over your heart, saying you'll never break out of this. You'll never get Him in there. You're too disgusting. You sin too much. You did the ultimate thing, and God will never love you because of what you've done. Wrong. God loves you. He loves and cares for you. And it's like this. For instance, if I open up the patio door here and go out on the balcony, and then I come in and do something, all of a sudden a bird flies into the penthouse here. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Am I going to take a broom out and just beat that bird to death when I can catch it in a corner? No. You're going to get the broom out, and you're going to start popping him wherever he's at. If he lands in the corner over by the sink or whatever, you're going to start trying to guide him, poke him a little bit, guide him to fly to the right direction, to where the fresh air is. That's what God does to us. We get in wrong places. We get in wrong categories. We get in wrong rooms. And we're just banging our heads against the window, trying to find a way out to the peace, back into the real world. How many of us have done this? We all have, right? I could go down the list of every person that's listening today. You've all done this. You have flown into the wrong place. You've walked into the wrong situation. You've made the wrong choice. Oh, I shouldn't have turned there. What do you think God's going to do? Get out his BB gun and just shoot you down? No. He's going to take the broom of love and grace and mercy. And he's going to just kind of pop you to get you, not to damage you, not to break a wing, not to knock sense into your head, but to guide you to the openness and to the freedom that only comes through him. That's how God loves you. That's why sometimes when we get ourselves in those situations, don't feel so bad about yourself. Sometimes we do get beat up while we're in there. Sometimes that broom does kind of like, ow, that hurts. Well, we're in some place we shouldn't have been. But through God's grace and guidance and discipline, he's going to guide us out so we can experience freedom. So if right now feels like God's circumstances or the circumstances that God is allowing and brought into your life is a broom that's pushing you in the opposite way that you want to go, let me encourage you that those broom pushes are to get you to go exactly where God wants you to be, where the freedom is, where the fresh air is. That's a powerful, powerful thought. Set your hearts on God's love for you. How are we doing on time? Time enough to take another drink of coffee. We're doing good. Write these down. You're going to need this. You're going to find somebody that's going to need this. The third thing, set your mind on things that's going to last. If this COVID-19 has taught us anything, it's taught us that not everything or anything, hardly anything, is for sure anymore. The only thing that I know for sure is God. Set your things, your mind, on things that will last. Colossians 3:1. Since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, Colossians 3:1. Since you have been raised to a new life in Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at the right hand of God in the place of honor and power. That's awesome. Colossians 3:1. The truth of the matter is that with what you feel isn't always real. It might just feel that, but it's not real at all. You ever done this? I think everybody at the office is talking bad about me. And believe it or not, nobody is. Believe it or not, nobody's even thinking about you. Just because you think it doesn't mean it's happening. Okay? Focus on things that you know are for a fact. It's embarrassing to me how often what I feel has nothing to do with reality. And we talk about this all the time, and I don't want to beat this up, but when I look in the mirror, I have to tell myself every day, that's not reality of what I think about myself. That's not reality, even though I think it. It's not reality. I am important. I am lovable. I am a masterpiece of my Creator. You are too. Kids, group up. No matter what the kids around you are saying or you think they're saying about you, no matter how they're bullying you or messing with you on Facebook or through your text or whatever, let me assure you and promise you, you are a valuable person, a valuable child. You are loved like you have no idea how you are loved by God and how He created you. And if you have something different in your body than other people have, let me encourage you. God bless you. You're more special than most. It's not a deformity. It's a specialty. If you talk different, if you slur your words different, you know, I couldn't say my R's as a kid. I went through speech therapy for years in grade school because I couldn't say my R's. And I really thought for me to be able to be a preacher, are you kidding? It's kind of like Moses saying that, really? I don't talk very well. How am I supposed to go in front of Pharaoh? God says, give it to me and I'll make it work. So whatever it is, kids, that you think so different about you, you're lovable. You are our most valuable masterpiece. And I can't wait to see you. I can't wait to see your face. I can't wait to see you come running across that parking lot back into our church. You are important. And God loves you. And we love you too. And never forget that. What you feel isn't always what is right. I'm going to keep going. I have a lot more on that, but I won't hammer that in anymore. Set your mind on things that's going to last, on God. Number four, you don't have to face it alone. You don't have to do this alone. Ecclesiastes 4:12. Hope this works. Ecclesiastes 4:12. I say this at every wedding that I ever have done. If one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. Don't try to handle this life on your own. Let me show you this. I don't know if you'll be able to see this or not. This is a simple piece of thread. And tell you what, I had to search this place over to find a spool of thread this morning. Simple piece of thread. This is you alone, okay? Life starts getting tough. Watch. It snaps. Simple piece of thread that breaks when it's on its own. Look at this. Same kind of piece of thread. Another one. Two pieces of thread. And it says, a cord of three strands can't be easily broken. Three pieces of thread. And you intertwine these. You wrap these all up. And you put the same kind of pressure that you did on the other one where you snapped. And I want to tell you what, no matter how hard, now yeah, you'll be able to break it if you really put it between two Ford pickups and attach it to the bumpers and say, go, you know, it's going to pop. But the power that these three together can overcome more than just this simple one that's in pieces is unbelievable. That verse is so absolutely true in physical, but in your spiritual world, in your relationship world, together, we can't be broken. You need more than just you. You are not an island. You need people around you to encourage you, to love you, to help you, that when things are going rough in your life, they come in you and they wrap their arms around you and they pray for you and they start intertwining in your life. And then when you just are getting ready to break, you're going to endure because you have other people's faith, other people's strength, other people's courage, other people's encouragement, other people's presence of just being there. And most importantly, you have God. and God's people around you. And that's what the power of the church is. That's what it's like, and I love that. That's what it means, Ecclesiastes 4:12. I love that. Stop trying to make your thread of faith thicker all by yourself. It just ain't going to work. Now, let's pretend in the last part of this sermon, and this is where I really didn't want to miss any of it, so I'm kind of glad we have a little extra time. And I hope I'm not boring you. Hang with me. Let's pretend we all made an appointment with Dr. God. And we're going to this doctor's appointment with four different situations in our life. And I want to show you how God diagnoses you and how God and what God prescribes for you when you have that diagnosis. You with me? So let's all make an appointment because we're going to see Dr. God. And the question at each one of these is going to be, how can I trust God when I am blank? So you can put that question down four times on your notes. How can I trust God when I'm, and then there's going to be four conditions and then four prescriptions. How can I trust God when I'm anxious? When it's building up in me, when I just don't know what I'm going to do. You with me? You've been there. You've done that. Some of the people that I've talked to on the phone the last couple of days are there. Some parents that are listening to me right now are there because it's just like, okay, when are we going to get out of this? When are we going to be able to go out? When are we going to, what's going on with your own life? What's going on? But Philippians 4:6-7. How can I trust God when I'm anxious? I love this. This tells you the condition. It tells you the answer. You ready? Philippians 4:6-7. Write it down. Be anxious for nothing. There is a diagnosis. There's a condition. Be anxious for nothing. What's the prescription? But in everything by prayer. There it is. God's prescription for anxiousness is prayer. And supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I'm going to keep going because it just keeps putting pills in my bottle that I need spiritually for this one. And then the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, is there any excellence? If there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen, amen, amen. We just might as well close the computer. If we can just take that one, we've got something that's going to get us through a long destination when I feel anxious. How do I trust in Him when I'm anxious? Pray. What do you pray about? What you're anxious about? Don't do this. Why do people do this? You have issues that you're anxious about. And then you go into prayer. And you pray, Lord, I pray for all those missionaries in South Africa. Wait. Not that you shouldn't pray about them, but when you're having that capacity of anxiousness inside of you that's about ready to burst, just go to God and go, God, I'm concerned about this. I'm concerned about what's going on. How am I going to get through this week? How am I going to get through all these deadlines? How am I going to get through with my job telling me I can only have half time now and my pay has been cut 60%? How can I do that? Talk to him about what you're anxious about. You can pray about that other stuff later. Focus on God about what is bothering you at that time. Give it to him. Give it to him. I'm not saying not ever pray about that other stuff. You need to. We all need to pray for each other. But when you're anxious and at that moment, pray about the specifics. And don't just come to him and say, God, I just want to give you everything. Thank you, amen. No. Tell him your heart, your mind, your worries. He knows all of it anyway, but he wants to hear it. What do I do about trusting God when I'm anxious? Pray. How do I trust God when, number two, when I'm afraid? But I'm scared. Been there? Are you there right now? How do you trust God? When you lose your job? When you lose your wife? When you lose a child? When you lose your best friend? How do you trust God when the person that you thought loves you says, you know, I'm not for sure I love you anymore? How do you trust him when you're afraid? Fear comes when circumstances cause us to feel trapped. Okay? This is a story in the Bible. It's called the Red Sea Experience. You remember what happened? Charlton Heston in the movie. Moses is leading the people out of Israel, out of Egypt, out of slavery, heading toward the promised land, and they get to the Red Sea. Kids, you all know this story. You all been there. You've heard this in Sunday school. This is the neat movie moment. You know, this is the play of the day in Scripture with miracles. I love this miracle. And they can't cross. They're at the border. They're at the Red Sea. They can smell the horses of Pharaoh coming behind them. And they see the Egyptian army coming their way. They can't go any other way, or they're going to be killed. They're trapped. I want to walk you through what happens. And I want to show us what God says about how to trust when you're scared or when you're afraid. Kids, you need this one too. Hang with me. First, the people are afraid. They come to Moses and they said, you brought us here so we could be slaughtered out in the middle of nowhere by Pharaoh. You brought us out here into the desert to die. Thanks, Moses. Kudos to you. We thought you were going to be the one that lead us out. You've ruined everything. Moses, to his credit, didn't blame them back, because I probably would have. Well, if you would have just listened to me all along, we would have left a long time ago. He didn't do that. Moses didn't do that. Well, you followed me. It's your own fault. He didn't do that. In Exodus 14:13, Moses says this. Instead of blaming them, he said this. Exodus 14:13. Don't be afraid. Just stand where you are and watch the Lord rescue you. Woo-hoo! Good wisdom. Don't be afraid. There's a diagnosis. But wait. To Moses' credit, he had the humility to point them to God, which is wonderful. That's a good thing. But it's interesting, if you keep reading, that God's answer is a little bit different than that. Watch. Exodus 14, 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Why are you crying out to me, Moses? Tell the people to get moving." Whatever your version is, circle the words about movement. Tell your people to get moving. Take the step of faith. Do what you're supposed to do. Keep moving forward. I'm there. That's the answer, that when you're afraid, fear paralyzes us. The devil wants us to get to not to do anything. And there's times, folks, that we need to stand firm and not move and just in what you believe. But when fear and afraid and that overtakes you in your life, you have to always step in God's direction. Move towards Him. Move in the direction that He's asking you to go. Don't stop. Don't turn around. Don't retreat and run back. Move in the direction that you have seen His hand move in all along. Don't forget that. Don't lose that. Move in that direction. What this is saying, if you take a step in the direction of only of what only God can do, you've got a choice when you feel trapped. You can sit there and you can stew about it. It's not gonna make it. Or you can get up and move towards what God wants you to do. That's powerful. Important. God's not going to show you the next 20 years of your life. God's not going to show you the next 5 years of your life. All God promises to show you is the next step. You take the first step, and then you take the next step. And it gets revelation comes sometimes a little bit at a time. I know I'm getting long, so I only got two more, so hang with me. When you feel afraid, move towards God. When you're feeling anxious, pray to God. How do I trust God? I was hoping to miss this one. Hoping we didn't have time. When I'm stubborn, how do I trust God when I'm stubborn? Oh, I'm not talking about you. People that you know. I'm stubborn. I'm hard-headed. But how do I trust God when I'm so hard-headed? There's a stubbornness in us that keeps us from doing what we know is the right thing to do. Let me just call you out. I wish I could name names. People that have been that close to getting saved, of asking Jesus Christ to come into their heart, but they're just so stubborn, I'll do it some other day. Or they've got saved and they've never been baptized. And they talk themselves out about it. Although you know the right thing to do is to get Jesus in your heart. You know the right thing to do is to get baptized and join the church. You know the right thing to do is to forgive somebody and do it. But because of stubbornness, you say, well, there's going to be a better time, a better day. So I'm just not going to do it. That's called stubbornness. Hard-headed. I'm hard-headed. You're hard-headed too, maybe, possibly. Or maybe it's just the one you're sitting next to on the couch right now. Don't go there. Don't start elbowing each other. What do I do when I'm stubborn, when I'm hard-headed? There's a story in the Bible about a man named Naaman. You remember this? Naaman is a government official in a country near to Israel in the Old Testament. And he has leprosy. He's rich with an incurable disease. High official, uppity-uppity, all the money in the world that he wants, but he has leprosy, an incurable disease. He couldn't connect with people. People wouldn't connect with him, and he had to deal with it every day. of his life. He had a servant girl who worked in the household, grew up in Israel, and came to him and said one day, "Sir, there's a prophet named Elisha in Israel. If you went and talked to him, he may be able to help you. And I believe that you might be healed." Naaman listened to her. He gets all of his people together. His entourage, the government official, goes all the way and starts making the track to Israel. He goes up to Elisha's door, knocks on the door. The door opens. It's one of Elisha's servants. Naaman says, "Here I am. The great government official, powerful man Naaman. I am here to be healed, to have Elisha pray for me." And the servant's girl response is, "Elisha's kind of busy. You don't have time right now. Sorry." And Naaman says, "Well, what should I do?" The servant comes back, opens the door, and says, "Naaman, Elisha says to go down to the river, Jordan. Dip yourself 7 times and come up and you will be healed. Thank you." And closes the door. Naaman is furious. "Are you kidding? How dare him to me to break out my best chariot, my best servants, and to bring that entourage to Elisha, this prophet's house, knock on his door, and him not even have a cup of coffee with me? What am I supposed to do this?" He's furious. 2 Kings 5:13. And Naaman stomps his way back home. 2 Kings 5:13. Naaman has some friends, wish we all had friends like this, who had an honest moment with him. Watch this. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if a prophet had told you to do some great thing that you haven't done, would you not have done it? If a prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more, then, when he tells you to wash and be cleansed?" This is a powerful line. This is a tweetable. We want to trust God in ways that appeal to our pride. It seems complicated. Wrong. Don't be so stubborn that we don't allow God to move with the way he wants to move it. Now watch. Naaman had a battle that off in his mind. He walked home. That day he listened to his servants. He then goes down to the Jordan River and he dipped himself 7 times. And after the 7th time, he was healed. No indication that he was healed as a process. First time, his arms were healed. 2nd time, his legs were healed. 3rd time, his torso was healed. 4th time, no. The 6th time probably had no effect except for obedience. But the 7th time, he came up perfectly healed. Here's the interesting thing about Naaman. And I wrote this down. I want to make sure I say this right because this is important. He's in his own country and he listens to a servant girl. He has the humility to listen to one of his servants to go all the way to Israel. He gets to Israel and the prophet's servant tells him something to do. He won't do that. Let that be a great example to you, at least to me, because maybe some of you can relate to this as the way that I get stubborn with God. We can be passive aggressive sometimes in our relationship with God. He asks us to do one thing, one more thing, and we won't do it. We're passive aggressive with Him. Sometimes it hurts to be healed. Sometimes it hurts. Give me 5 more minutes, I'll be done. Sam. Lillian and Sam. Sam got his shoulder operated on this week. Pray for him, please, because he's probably in the most pain that he's ever been in his life with that shoulder. But I want to let you know that eventually, Sam, I hope you're listening this morning, eventually they're going to send you to a wonderful person called a physical therapist. You're going to hate your physical therapist. I just want you to know. Because it's going to hurt like all get out. Let me tell you. If anybody in this world ever goes to a physical therapist and goes, oh, good, that was fun, you don't have the right physical therapist. A physical therapist's job is to stretch you in ways, to hurt you in ways that they know if that muscle is stretched out enough, it's going to have the capacity to rebuild itself, rejuvenate itself, and come back even more powerful than it ever was. God treats us that way sometimes. When we're stubborn, we have to be able to trust in Him. Hear His voice. Hear His direction. Hebrews 3:7-8. Hebrews 3:7-8. Today, when you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. Another version says this, and I love it. If you hear God's voice today, don't be stubborn. Wow. Hear God's voice. Are you listening? God's voice is never condemning. God's voice is always inviting. That condemning voice, that's somebody else's. Last one, and I'm done, I promise. All right, we got to be done. Don's going to kick me off the air here. Number 4. How do I trust God when I'm tired? We're going to be easy on this one and quick. Psalms 143:4. David wrote this psalm, and some of you can declare this yourself. I've given up all hope, and I feel numb all over. Is that you? That's what happened to the child and the youth in my youth group last week, Monday. Felt like giving up, that there was no hope. You got to read the next few verses. Psalm 143:4. I have given up hope and I feel numb all over. Psalm 143:5. And through, keep on going. I remembered to think about the many things that you did in years gone by. Then I lift my hands in prayer because my soul is a desert and thirsty for water from you. Please hurry, Lord, and answer my prayer. I feel hopeless. Each morning, let me learn more about your love because I trust you. I come to you in prayer, asking for your guidance. You are my God. Show me what you want me to do and let your gentle spirit lead me in the right path. Yeah, he felt hopeless. Yeah, he was tired. He was wore out, but he kept trusting. The answer, Matthew 11:28. When I feel tired, come unto me. All of you that are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will let you have rest. When you feel tired, when I feel tired, what do you want to do? You usually want to get away. You want to get away from the tiredness that you have. You want to escape this thing. You want it to go away, and you want that problem that it never works. One of two things always happen. Either I get away from it, and then I come back to it, and it was worse or as bad as it was when I left. Or two, I get away, and when I get away, I find out most of the time that the problem that I was getting away from was me. Come to him. I'm done. But just to say it, how do I trust God when I'm anxious? Pray. Talk to God. How do I trust God when I'm afraid? Get moving. Walk to God. How do I trust God when I'm stubborn? Hear God's voice. Listen to God. How do I trust God when I'm tired? Come to him and rest in God. But you have to trust in him, even when you don't feel like it. You're going to need this week. Something's going to happen with one of your friends or your family. Somebody maybe you haven't heard from in years that's going to need this. Trust in him, and he'll get you through. I promise. Thank you for being here this morning. I miss y'all. Sorry that I went way long. I knew I would, but I didn't want to miss one point. And remember, where to go? I don't know where my thread went. There's power in the numbers. There's power in prayer. There's power in his word. There's power in listening to him. There's power in moving towards him. And trust in that. Don't give up. Trust in him. God, may these words penetrate the hearts in our stubbornness, in our hardness that we have, in our own personal lives. And may we learn more about how to depend on you and trust in you in everything that we do. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. I love you. I miss you. I know some people are getting ready to go to the next Sunday school class. I'm sorry that I went long today, but I'm not sorry for what God's word does. And hopefully people are going to be listening to this online. We're getting between 200 on one side, 400 on another side of people that listen to these throughout the week. So may they just minister, be there, and always remember, no matter what, there is always hope. Keep trusting in him. God bless. Have an awesome day. And I love you. Live from Houston. We'll see you next week on another edition of Faith Springs Live. God bless. Have an awesome one. I love y'all.